Well, good evening, folk. It's great that we could gather again, even remotely, and complete our series looking at this wonderful book of wisdom, Ecclesiastes. As Ross said, there's many a melancholy note in here, but we are reminded throughout this book that life is made to be lived before God. And if we don't live life before God, we live in vain. Why don't we bow for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time as we close the day together, Lord, in corporate worship, Father, singing songs of praise to you, remembering, as Ross said, Lord God, the amazing grace, Father, the amazing resurrection to come, Lord. That, Father, we have an amazing homecoming ahead of us, Lord, and that our light and momentary troubles are not even worth comparing with the glory to come. So, Lord God, I pray that this evening we would have ears to hear and hearts to understand this word, that we would see again the gift of life, the beauty of each day, Lord, but also, Father, just the importance of coming to you, Lord God, today and walking before you as your beloved children through faith in Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen. Well, we're looking, as Ross said, at the last two chapters. We're closing out our overview of this wonderful book written by King Solomon. And it's called, the talk tonight is called The Secret to Living and Aging Gracefully. My favorite Disney animated movie of all time is the movie Up. If you've seen Up, you know this is a beautiful movie with lots of melancholy moments. The absolute highlight of this whole movie is the opening scene. We have this beautiful, lovely kind of melancholy song as we see the story of a young boy and girl who meet, become friends, they date later in their teen years, they get married, and they form a life together and build a house, and they kind of look at their many dreams and aspirations for their life. And their dream of having children doesn't come to pass, and they grieve that. And throughout their life, we see throughout this song, this couple living together in love and growing old together. Until toward the end of the song, the woman dies, and her husband grieves her greatly. And so then the movie proper opens with this man, now an old man, old and embittered. And the story of the whole movie is how he finds a purpose in helping a young boy meet his dreams. Well, there's a similar kind of tone in Ecclesiastes. Like that old man in Up, Solomon is now an old man, an old king, and he looks back on his life with, I think, a lot of melancholy and a lot of regret. God gave Solomon so much, so many blessings, great wisdom, great power, great wealth, and yet, for many years, Solomon explored other highways and byways to find meaning and purpose outside of life lived before God. He tried to make a great name for himself. He did things that God had commanded him not to do, marrying foreign wives, accruing slaves from Israel. He was not to do that. He became incredibly powerful, but he found along the way great frustration and brokenness. We read in the account of his life, he even worshipped in pagan temples with his foreign wives. And so many years later, I believe, an old King Solomon looks back, and there are many regrets. And he looked back at life in general, and he says that life lived under the sun, that is, life lived purely on the physical plane, what we can see, what we can touch, is vanity. Throughout this book, there are these little interjections of the narrator when he says the only way to live a life of joy and meaning and purpose is to live in awe and worship of God, our Creator. We saw last week chapter 9 in which Solomon looked at the brevity of life and the death that comes to all, and again said that life makes no sense if this life is all there is. There is much frustration, even much injustice. But life makes perfect sense. Life works even in this Genesis 3 world when we live as followers of Jesus. And so we come to the very end of this book. We come to the conclusion of the matter in which Solomon looks back and says, yes, Life can be lived with joy under the sun, but only when we live before God, loving, worshiping Him, and being in awe of Him. And so point one of these last two chapters is this. Enjoy the days God has given you. Enjoy the days God has given you. Looking at chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. Well, let's read those verses again. Solomon writes, "Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity." Now, if you've reached a certain point in your life, at least middle life or middle age or older, you may have many photo albums of when you had young children, perhaps of your own youth. I am never able to look at a photo album without a great sense of melancholy. You look back on the days of your own youth, the days when all of life lay in front of you, and you look back in the beautiful days when you have young children and the joy of young children. It's very easy to be melancholy as we look back at lovely seasons. And Solomon says the seasons of youth are indeed to be enjoyed. We are to enjoy every day God gives us as a gift. King David, Solomon's father, made this same point in Psalm 139, verse 16. David wrote of God, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them." David understood God ordained all of the days that David would live. He ordains all of your days and all of my days, and they are to be received each day with rejoicing. We had about a month or so ago, we had, I recall in Canberra, a very cold week, a week when it was grey all week and very, very cold. And after this week of great cold, the sun came out and you could go outside and feel the beautiful warming rays of the sun. And David says here in verse 7, light is sweet. It is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Yes, that's a great joy. God gave us these things to be enjoyed. And note too, he talks then about the joy of youth. Verse 8, it says to enjoy your days. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Youth is a wonderful gift. It's the spring time of life. He says, walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Now, I like it here. He says, too, he says, the dawn of life, verse 10, is vanity. Now, the word hevel again in the Hebrew, it's a very interesting word. It has a wide range of meanings. We can't nail it down with one English word. So you can have meaningless, you can have vanity, but it also means fleeting, momentary. The word literally just means a breath, a morning mist. And so throughout the book, he uses this word in different ways. So we have to understand which way he's using it. And so in verse 10, I would argue he's saying for youth and the dawn of life is fleeting. I think the word fleeting there, because hevel means momentary, temporary. He's saying enjoy your youth. It's a brief season in life to be enjoyed, to be thankful for. And note too, he says to put away vexation from your heart in your youth. The word there literally is anxiety. Remove anxiety from your heart in your youth. Put away pain from your body. Now, you may note in your ESV Bibles there's a little number there next to pain, because the Hebrew word is not pain. The Hebrew word is evil. Rahav, it's evil. Put away evil from your bodies. I think he's saying enjoy your youth as this wonderful season of spring in your life, but don't use it to indulge the flesh. Live it before God. Youth is best enjoyed when we know God in our youth and live before God in our youth. And so youth is a brief season. Now, the whole problem with our culture today is that people idolize youth. You have people in their middle-aged years trying to look like teenagers, filling their faces with Botox and dyeing their hair and trying to kind of worship at the altar of youth. And it looks incredibly foolish when people don't know how to age gracefully. Youth is a gift, but it's fleeting. Verse 10, it is fleeting. Enjoy your youth, but understand the season you are in. If you are in your middle years, you are not a young youth. Enjoy your middle years. Each season is to be enjoyed. And young folk, enjoy today. I can recall being young and always looking ahead. You know, I can't wait until I finish primary school and get into high school. I can't wait until I get my driver's license. I can't wait until I get out of high school. I can't wait until I'm 18. But enjoy your youth today. It is a wonderful gift. I can recall being about 8 years old and an elderly lady said to me, "Enjoy your childhood. These are the golden years." And I replied, "Well, there isn't much to look forward to then, is there?" But I was being, I think, a young cynic. Youth is indeed a gift. You have so much potential. You can choose your studies. You can choose your career. Nothing is nailed down. There's endless potential in youth. It is a wonderful season of life. Enjoy it. But no, God is not holding back on you. He's not holding out on you. Youth is always best enjoyed. Live before God. We hear in the world today, go out there and sow your wild oats, try all of the pleasures of the world, you know, date many different people, and then only settle down in your 30s. This is the way of the world. It just leads to brokenness, broken relationships, and scarred people. It's not the way to live. The way to live is before God in all of your days, including in your youth. When we live knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are free to really enjoy youth. By the way, in verse 10, the word youth there is actually a Hebrew word that simply means black hair. Solomon is saying your youth is a time when your hair is lustrous and black. It's not gone white yet. It's a time of vibrancy, of taut skin, of muscles. It's a time when your body is at its absolute peak. Enjoy youth. Enjoy that season of your life, but do it knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Well, point two is this: seek the Lord while he may be found. That's a key takeaway from this entire book, is seek the Lord today. Do not risk the absolute peril of your soul by hearing the gospel and putting off a response. Today is a day to believe in Jesus and entrust yourself to him. It's a beautiful song called 100 Years by a band, Five for Fighting. And I was reading some comments that people were making on this song, listeners were making. And I read this comment from an 80-year-old woman. She wrote, "This song reminds me that I might have wasted some of my 80 years when I was careless with my life. We think we will never grow old, that my teenage years were just yesterday. I remember my first kiss. Spend your years wisely. Love a lot. Be kind and generous, because your life will pass like a flash and leave only memories of not only the good, but the bad things you had rather forget." Isn't that sad? Life passes by like a flash, which is just what Solomon is saying. Life is heavily, it's momentary, it's fleeting. And as Ross was saying, we see in these first 8 verses of chapter to 12, a picture of the brevity of life. It's a beautiful, melancholy, but beautiful, poetic account of how life moves so fast. And life can be whizzing by before we even know it. Let's read it again, because it's such a beautiful passage. Solomon writes, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near of which you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them,' before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. I love this verse in Isaiah. Isaiah says in Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Solomon is saying the exact same thing. Today is the day to seek the Lord. When you are young, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Turn to him, trust in Jesus, and follow him all of your days. Do not put it off. God knows what is best for you. He made you to live in a loving relationship with him. I can recall a famous Puritan preacher saying that one day he was visiting an elderly man in his bed, and this man was dying. This man had heard the gospel many times, but had never repented and received Jesus. And so this Puritan preacher again preached the gospel to this elderly dying man and said, do you believe and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And the man replied, I want to, but I find that I can't. And the man died in great sadness. The man had heard the call of God, but he had not sought the Lord while he was near, and he was given over to a hardened heart. When you hear the gospel, do not mock God. Return to him. Repent and believe today. Don't wait, Solomon says, until the evil days come in which we find no pleasure, because our end may be near and we may have already been given over to a hardened heart. We see there a very poetic description of the body getting old and breaking down. I found a similar, very melancholy description of what it means to be old and the dark days having come in 2 Samuel chapter 19. Now, there was a man called Barzillai who was very good to King David. We read this. The king said to Barzillai, come over with me, and I will provide for you with me in Jerusalem. But Barzillai said to the king, how many years have I still to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old. Can I discern what is pleasant and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats or what he drinks? Can I listen to the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way over the Jordan with the king. Why should the king repay me with such a reward? Please let your servant return, that I may die in my own city, near the grave of my father and my mother. Isn't that a sad picture of a faithful elderly man? He's saying, the troubled days have come. I find no pleasure in them. Let me go home and get ready to return to my Maker. But know that when you follow Jesus, all of your days, all of your sufferings are redeemed. As Ross read, Romans 8:18, Paul writes, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. If you're not in Christ, aging is just tragic. It's so depressing. But if you're in Christ, we have an amazing glory that is going to be revealed to us, compared to which the sufferings and even the aging of our bodies is not even worth comparing. Now let's just examine this amazing, vivid and kind of melancholy poem in which Solomon describes and uses images to describe the aging of the body. He says these things. Firstly, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. He's talking there about the loss of vision, our eyes getting weak as we age. The rain is gone, the sky is cleared, but clouds return to your eyes because you can't see. He writes, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed. For the keepers of the house likely refer to trembling hands. The bent strong men is hunching and stooping over that comes upon our bodies with age. The grinders ceasing is talking about losing our teeth as we get very elderly. And those who look through the windows are dimmed again is the loss of sight in our last days. He continues, the doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of the song are brought low. The doors being shut can refer to the way when we are very elderly, we can become very afraid and more fearful for our safety, and we lock the doors. One rising at the sound of a bird means that when you get elderly, you can become a very light sleeper. You can wake very easily and find it hard to stay asleep. The smallest sound can wake us up. He continues, they are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. My father is about to turn 74 in just a month, which is wonderful. I heard the other day Dad climbed up a ladder onto the roof and was cleaning the roof of his house, and my daughter was horrified. And David is saying there, when he says they are afraid of what is high, is that when folk get elderly, climbing a ladder becomes a source of great peril. You become much more wary of height, unlike my dad is, because as you get elderly, we have less balance, we have less firmness in our body. He writes, terrors are in the way. This could be speaking of the fear that the elderly have of being knocked over in the streets. I love this next verse. The almond tree blossoms. Have you ever seen an almond tree blossom? The whole tree turns this beautiful, vibrant white. He's saying, of course, the day of black hair is over. Your hair turns white. Now, your hair turns white if it stays in at all as you get very elderly. He says the grasshopper drags itself along. He's saying it's harder to get around. We lose mobility as we get old. And then he says desire fails, referring to the loss of sexual desire. It's a very vivid but very kind of a depressing picture of the way our bodies get old toward the end of our days. And then referring to the end of our days, he says, the silver cord is snapped, the golden bowl is broken, the pitcher shattered at the fountain, the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Yes, Solomon has been pouring out a lot of melancholy, looking over his life, much of which he wasted, yet he remembers, when we die, the spirit returns to God who gave it. We go home to our Heavenly Father. And so even in this Genesis 3 world, this broken world, death is only ever a tragedy when a person dies outside of Christ. When a person dies outside of Christ, death is totally tragic and futile. But when we die in Christ, the spirit returns to God who gave it. And we have an amazing glory to come. He then kind of finishes that section by saying, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. The refrain of the whole book. A reminder that life only works when we know God as our loving Heavenly Father. And that's the point of point three. Trust in Jesus, our Good Shepherd. Looking at chapter 12, verses 9 through 14. I don't have a sat nav in my brain. My wife has a wonderful sense of direction. I do not. I wish I did. I can recall walking around the CBD in Brisbane and being totally lost. I've been lost in Sydney. I've been lost in Melbourne. I've even been lost in Jerusalem. I have no sat nav. I can lose direction very, very easily. Well, the Bible often refers to all of us as sheep. And like sheep, we can easily be startled and we can easily be lost. How do we live in this terribly broken world? We need a guide. We need a shepherd. We need a good shepherd. And praise God, he has given us such a wonderful guide in Jesus, our good shepherd. Look now with me at verses 9 through 14, the close of this book. And now we again have the voice of the narrator comes in. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. He's saying that Solomon the king taught the people knowledge and wrote words of truth. Of course, he also wrote the book of Proverbs, or much of the book of Proverbs. It says these wise words are like goads, driving us like sheep or cattle in the right direction. And he's saying that these are sayings given by one shepherd. He's speaking to the fact that God breathes his word through the writers of the Bible, including Solomon. They are given by one shepherd. Throughout the Old Testament, Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, is called the Good Shepherd. And throughout the Old Testament, his Messiah is called the Good Shepherd, the one shepherd who would come soon. Jesus says he is the Good Shepherd who leads us home, who lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Solomon had tried every path known to man under the sun. Every way the people of the world out there today are living, Solomon tried, and he did it better than them because he had great money and power to do so. He tried every human way of trying to find pleasure. He tried every source of and kind of living for himself and found only futility. All paths led to a dead end. They all led to hell, to frustration, to brokenness. The only way to live a life of joy, a life of meaning, a life of purpose is to fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. And we see all around us today, in the world today, all kinds of terrible, wicked injustice. We think about the sufferings of the people in Afghanistan and we grieve for them, and we should. But note, justice is coming. God will judge every secret thing. We can trust God. This world is not all there is, and the brokenness of our human courts are not the final word in justice. God will judge. Jesus is coming again soon. But if we are in him, we are going to be given grace rather than what we deserve at the judgment. Jesus Christ himself said that he is one greater than Solomon in Luke 11 verse 31. And Paul described Jesus in 1 Corinthians 1:18 as the power and wisdom of God. Yes, we have here in Ecclesiastes a book of wisdom, but wisdom ultimately is personified in Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the one who lived all of his life on this earth in perfect wisdom and obedience to his Father, the one who laid down his life as an atonement for our sins, that we can be covered and clothed in his holiness, that we can be given grace, not justice. Because of Jesus, death is not the final word. Because of Jesus, the frustration of this world is being redeemed if we are in him. I love these words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:16. The ultimate answer to the poem of aging in chapter 12, Paul writes, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. If you are in Jesus, life is meaningful. Life is not frustration. And the joy we had in our youth, we will have in a far greater way when we enjoy eternal life in perfect, raised up, resurrection bodies, living in a restored earth, in loving communion with our loving Heavenly Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Remember your Creator today, whether you are young or old, while He is calling and while there is still time. Walking with the Lord Jesus is the only way to live. It is the answer, the antidote to the frustrations Solomon found in Ecclesiastes. Why don't we now close with a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you that this life is not all there is. Lord, we see so much frustration, so much injustice, so much brokenness in this world, which is suffering under the curse of sin and death. Father, we can also feel grief and frustration and just find it very hard to live in this broken world, Lord, facing trials, fighting temptations, Lord, seeing all kinds of injustice. But Lord, help us to look to you, to remember you are sovereign. You are gathering for yourself a people from every tribe and nation, and your will be done. And that, Lord God, if we are in Christ, you have redeemed all of our lives, all of our days, even our sufferings and trials, when we are in Christ and we are being made more and more like him as you refine us through the trials of this short life. So, Lord God, I pray this evening that each and every person watching from home would not rest until they have come to the point of trusting themselves to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And Lord, for all of us who are in him now, Lord, help us to look to him, to be less bothered, less frustrated by the world around us, and to be more full of joy and rejoicing as we look to our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray this in his name. Amen.